Hey, a special thanks to the sponsor for the regional preview show, the Mizuno Junior Golf Tour. Those guys have been great to me and have been a big supporter of From the Cart Path. And I just wanted to say thank you again to the Mizuno Junior Golf Tour, the sponsor for the regional preview golf show. Now, they still have one tournament left that you can sign up for the fall on October 12th at Southern Dunes. Now, you can just Google Mizuno Junior Golf Tour and you can find them. So thanks again.
Welcome, because you are now listening to From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts, bringing you tips, support, and player recognition and education with the experts for parents and junior golfers in Indiana. This is From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts.
Hey, everyone. It's been a while since I've been on with anyone, and we wanted to do our regional preview podcast just like we did for the boys in the spring. And now here we are in the fall, and it is time, boy, 6 weeks after the season started, and we're at the regional preview show for the state tournament. And I've got a couple of coaches joining me tonight. Nate McClung, who has been on the show with me a couple of times doing the preview shows. And then we also have with us today, I'm just going to go with Coach Sal from HSE over at Hamilton Southeastern, the Royals. And I know, Nate, you had a question for Sal to get going for the night.
Yeah, I just, first of all, Trent, thanks for having me. Excited to look at these regionals. Coach Sal, you have a heck of a program there at Hamilton Southeastern, and I just think always trying to learn from other coaches, like, what are some of the things when we say Hamilton Southeastern Golf, like you have your parent meeting beginning of the year, what are the non-negotiable things or the things about your program that you are really proud of, if that makes sense?
So first off, thanks for having me on the show. Just like you, Coach McClung, I'm really excited to be here. Really love what this program does to bring light to all the youth golf happening in the state of Indiana. And also disclaimer, if the answers are bad, it's because I have not heard the questions before. But it's funny that you use the word like, what am I proud of? And so, as you know, HSE Royals, our logo is a lion. And so as I took over the program, I really leaned into that really hard because just for without too much detail, we need to fix a little bit of culture, right? And so one of the biggest things that I did right off of the bat is I created an acronym called PRIDE. And so a group of lions is called a pride. And so I said, we are going to be a pride, but then I acronymed it out. And I said, here are the five things that I want to see every single day out of every single one of my golfers. I want to see that they're positive and they're not ripping themselves apart and beating themselves up. I want to see that they're respectful to their teammates, their friends, their coaches, their competitors, the course, taking care of things, doing things the right way, fixing divots, all of that good stuff. I want to see that they're intentional, thinking about what they're doing ahead of time and being proactive, not reactive. And I want to see that they're determined because golf is not a game of perfect. Bad shots are going to happen. So what do? We get determined and we focus on that next shot and we try to make that one the most successful shot of our day. And then the E is enjoying it, because if we're not enjoying what we're doing out there on the golf course, there's a million other things that these young ladies could be doing other than out there on a golf course. And so I want to make sure that it is their passion, their drive, because Coach, you and I can both agree, we sometimes get girls out there that it's not really their passion. It's dad or grandpa or whatever else. And so making sure that they have the ownership and the love of the sport is really key to that. And then from there, you know, I do a little bit of a contract where I have them agree that, you know, they are a student athlete, so you got to be communicative of issues with school, especially starting out and how hectic our schedule is. We got to be prioritizing the team above ourselves. And so we might want that playing position, but if it just doesn't make sense logistically or whatever I'm trying to do with the lineups or whatever else, we got to understand that that I'm going to set things up in a way that I feel like is needed right now. And that's going to be for the benefit of our team. And we have to put ourselves aside. And, you know, and then there's just other things like making sure we're at practice and, you know, following IHSA rules and all that. But the biggest thing that I did is I leaned into that pride, because then we're a family, we're a community. And those are the things that we kind of live on as we work out on the golf course.
I think that's awesome, Coach. And I guess two things that kind of stick out to me, just my second question for you, actually, and something I really respect with what you and what Coach Young does, also you guys do on the boys side, is I've heard your players talk about the experiences and what they enjoy about being a part of the program. So I think it was neat that your E was enjoy there. But the other thing I kind of heard you say that I think is cool is it seems like it's important to you to build up trust with those girls in your program, right? So like you were talking about where they're playing in the lineup. I loved what you said about team above self. So like your best player is Janelle Garcia. How does she kind of, as a leader for you, what are some of the things that she does that kind of reiterate those things that you're trying to pride yourself in that program?
So Janelle is, I'm going to get a little bit emotional here because I only got a couple more weeks, but Janelle has been the number one since basically she stepped on foot on HSC campus. Freshman year, she very quickly moved to the number one, and her scores were kind of right around some of the other girls. But what she did more than anybody else is she handled the position. And right, like when you're number one, especially when you're number one for a program like HSC, I mean, you're going against the number ones of the Westfields, the Carmels, the Zionsvilles, the Noblesvilles all day, every day. And you're in that like marquee spotlight group, and there are plenty of players. I mean, that is just going to absolutely unravel them. And from a very, 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 very beginning, she was just cool, calm, collected under pressure. Things that others have to work for came more naturally to her in terms of letting the bad shots go, keeping herself level. I always joke with her that she could be 15 over or 5 under, and I don't know. Like every day when a scorecard comes in, it could be an 80 or a 65. And I'm like, I couldn't have told you unless I snuck a look at your scorecard as we were walking together on a couple of holes and talking about things. But, and so then just kind of taking that as a persona, she is just kind and caring, and she's just genuine with all the other girls. And it's funny that you said, you know, how does she lean into that? So I actually last season then created at our end of season banquet a pride award, kind of who exemplifies our team motto, and had the kind of the athletes give me the names of the people when you think of like who's the number one person on the team when you think of that or that or that. And Janelle came up in every single category multiple times. And so it's funny you said, how does she exemplify that? Even the girls recognize and understand, because Janelle was the recipient of that award last year. So she just lives it. I think it's a lot because of kind of her even keel, level-headedness that she can lean into. She doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. And then you can just go do all those other things, being intentional, determined, and all that good stuff.
That's awesome, Coach.
No, Janelle quite well as well. I've seen her play for quite some time. And I think what a lot of people don't know about her unless they get really close with her is her sense of humor.
Correct.
And that kid is one of the funniest kids I've seen. And I know all the girls love being around her. And I think this year, it's like they've all created some new habits with eating. And what kind of meals are they having after some of their matches and tournaments, Coach, this year? That's kind of like feeding the lion pride right now.
Yeah. So emphasis on the word after the match, because good golly, I would not take these kids to this place before a match. So in that early meeting that you mentioned, Coach McClung, one of the things that I have the girls do is try to define what success looks like. And I'm not talking about individualized goals. I'm like, what does it look like for the team to be successful? As you know, golf is so unique because you have individuals competing for a team, but it's unlike any other team sport. You know, even tennis, you're going to have doubles. You're going to be able to lean on each other and other stuff, but like it is you, and you're out there for sometimes 5-6 hours and all that. So this year on the What Will Make Our Season Successful, they wrote a bunch of really great things. And then I always make them like identify the top three. And there were some performance ones, you know, goals that we're trying to achieve right now, just achieved on Monday, are trying to achieve next week for sure. And on Saturday, of course. But one of the highlighted major goals was 2 cheeseburger meals from McDonald's. So I won't even say the number of times that I've had to swing into the Golden Arches to buy somewhere between 6 to 10 2 cheeseburger meals for a pack of ravenous teenage girls. That is what Trent is alluding to right there, is our 2 cheeseburger meal obsession as a program.
You got to feed the pride hamburgers, and that keeps them happy and keeps them playing well. That's something I've learned this year. So and I tell you what it's done though, is it gets them talking a lot. It gets them having the conversations. And I know one of the things too is before matches, parents are buying these bags, filling them up with stuff before. And what's the toy they're getting before?
And this is something that they also identified as, like, you know, so I asked them, what do you need from your parents, from the parents, in order to make it successful? And they all wanted to do those kind of goodie bags. Other programs have done them. I wasn't against it. I wasn't going to organize and orchestrate it. And so, you know, I had some parents step up, and so they bring like just a little goodie bag, right? It's got the girl's name on it, maybe. You know, some snacks and other stuff. But then there's always some toy. And there's just these random toys that you could like go into Kroger or Meijer or whatever aisle, Target or whatever. And they're like these little mystery toys that are probably somewhere between like $4 and $8 each. And they're just all sorts of things. I mean, I have seen there have been little like stress balls. Recently, we had like My Little Pet Shop or something like that. So it was like a bunch of little pets that were funny colors. My favorite one was Bobble Butts. So legitimately it's like a bobblehead, but it's like a ballooned out butt that like wiggled.
Coach, are these those like mystery boxes where you don't know what?
Yeah, they're like those little bags.
What a brilliant thing. That I mean, I have 3 children, and it's like I spend so much money on those darn things. It's such a ridiculous thing.
They love them, like the ripping those open. So we used to arrive to the course somewhere about an hour ahead of a round. We now arrive between an hour and 20 and an hour 30 because we need a little bit of like open up our stuff and record our little snaps and whatever else, videos. And here's the funny thing. So you mentioned Janelle a little bit ago. Janelle has called her thing on almost every single open. Like she said, I'm going to get this one. Boom, rips it open. I'm going to get this one. Boom, rips it open. She looks at the back of the package, decides what she wants, and like manifests it into the package. It is remarkable.
What are some of the changes you've seen from the beginning of the season until now with this team and who they are and how they're coming together?
Well, you know, with everything, that's a hard one to kind of quantify and put into words, because as we've mentioned, like it is such a fast paced thing. You try to do a little bit of like off season stuff, just a little bit of conditioning or hitting or other things like that. But everybody's kind of busy with summer tournaments, so you don't know who's going to show or not show. And obviously it's not mandatory because we can't do anything like that. But then all of a sudden the season gets here, and over the course of 3 out of 4 days over a weekend, you're trying out making a team. Then you're starting invites right away. You're doing that player parent meeting. You're trying to get them together. And then the next thing you know, you blink and you're on a regional preview show talking about your team. And so it's all of that stuff, right? It's the laughter, it's the snaps, it's the bus rides, it's the sleepovers, the team meals, all of those things. And even just like talking about a round afterwards, where they're waiting for all the scores to come in and they're just sitting around a table chatting about, oh, this happened, that happened, that happened. And just letting the stress of the round wash off of you and just kind of settling back into normalcy and having those people around you that you share that moment with. It's been really, really cool. You know, our team, we I don't know, started out strong, maybe a little bit of ups and downs and things like that. We had a great day out at Hickory Stick, winning the Trojan Classic. And then we faltered a little bit. We felt success and we have expectations, which is new for our program. And I know that sounds crazy to say, but the previous expectation was let's show up to state. And now the new expectation is let's show out at state. And so then when all of a sudden you experience success and then you hit a roadblock of hardship, you know, that becomes really challenging and trying. And so there were a few weeks there where we were having some really great growth conversations about how we're going to deal with and work through, doing a lot of like mental work on how we're going to approach rounds and how we're going to work our way through those rounds, focusing on the I and the D, right? The intentional and the determined aspects of what we're really after. And even the E, like the enjoying it, you know, we can't beat ourselves up because we got a bad hole. We got to step up to the next tee box. And so through all of that, I really watched them start to have more, I don't know, maybe noteworthy or meaningful conversations. And all of a sudden the conversation became a little bit deeper, and just with that, the care becomes a little bit deeper. And now, yeah, over the last, you know, few 18 hole matches, it's hopefully clicking. Now we could show up on Saturday and we can lay an absolute egg and I'm still going to love and be proud of every single one of them. So it's not about the performance. It's about the journey, not the outcome. So, and I hope they know that about me as well. And hopefully that's part of why we can experience some success is for that reason. I even asked them that. I'm like, am I putting the pressure on? Like it, and they're like, nope, it's not that. It's something like, as we're trying to identify.
Coach, I'm over here. Like I even took some notes. I think just so much of this stuff is wonderful that you're doing. And I was writing down a follow-up question about just you earning the player's trust. And then I love your team over individual, because I think that's a really hard part about coaching high school golf. But honestly, as you were telling that story, heck, man, you spend 20 to 30 minutes more every weekend building and answering and developing those things. Like you being willing to do that, show up 20 to 30 minutes earlier, let the girls do their snap, open their toys. You are doing all of those things, and that is how you're building the trust, and that is how you're building a team. I think that's awesome, man. I think you're doing great stuff. And honestly, I'm at Yorktown. Like we see your girls maybe twice a season. So, you know, I respect what you do, but really I've enjoyed this conversation very much.
And I've watched it over the last couple of years as a parent, and he identified some of the things we talked about earlier in the conversation, and he's right. Culture was a big thing that he wanted to come and do. And it wasn't just the player culture. It was a family culture too, of the parents and the kids. And that was something that he's been focusing on, and he continues to work and get, and I think the parents and everybody continue to get better and stronger. So I think that's a lot of it too, because every one of us supports every one of those kids out there, no matter what. And we're always there for each other. And I think that just kind of shows, because even when you see the kids in the course, it's like, it's not even going, well, how you playing, Bella? It's like, what toy did you get today? And they're more excited to talk about that. And that brings back kind of the enjoy part back on the golf course. And one of the things I wanted to point out real quick, Sal, is you talked about the word enjoy. We were at Harbor Trees at the Courtney Cole Invitational, and Sophie's group was behind Maya Shepley's group with Allie Thompson and Olivia Patton. We were watching that group. And when you talk about the word enjoy, that group was the definition of enjoy on the golf course that day. And every single one of those girls played well, they had fun, and at the end of the day, their score didn't matter because they really had a good time with each other out there that day. And I think that, to me, is what high school golf is all about, is if those girls can be out there enjoying themselves, nothing else matters. And the scores will come, but they're not going to come along if you're not enjoying yourself out there. You're questioning every little thing that's going on. And that was one of the first times I watched this year where I've seen a group like that, where I'm like, wow, I want to be a part of that group today. And it was really great to see those three girls, and obviously seeing Maya Shepley being a part of that group, just having fun and enjoying themselves. I wanted to point that out to you.
Yeah, and there's plenty of plenty of examples of that, and that's part of what we do. We play a lot of the same teams over and over. I'm excited to play with your girls again on Saturday, because for those that haven't seen the regional pairings, HSC is paired up with Yorktown up at the LaPel Regional at Edgewood. So that's going to be exciting to be out there with you on Saturday, Coach. And that just goes, that example that you just showed, I see that all the time. I mean, just kicking it back, watching Sophie and Olivia Fowler from Noblesville mess around with each other, seeing Janelle walk around with different people. She really enjoys playing with some different individuals. It's another Noblesville girl, but her and Josie Kelly love playing golf together. I mean, those two are just hamming it up the entire round. So, and to your point, it also brings out the best golf, because and this is one of the things that I stress so much with these girls, is the more you're thinking about it, the more, of course, it's going to go wrong. I mean, you're just thinking and analyzing, and we just got to get comfortable and we got to get confident, because we can hit every shot in the book. But as soon as we start going, I don't want to hit that because I didn't hit, boy, we are just putting doubt and sowing worry, and we're already kind of defeating ourselves before we even stepped up to the ball. We got to be sitting there just relaxing, vibing, and just knowing that we're good at golf, and so we're going to make this swing and we're going to deal with the outcome. That's the end of it. Like, at the end of the day, it's just another round of golf, and they've played hundreds or thousands of those.
Well, perfect, Sal. I think that's a great note for our part of the conversation with you to end here, because I truly believe is we don't need to talk about expectations for Saturday. We don't need to talk about next expectations. I think you hit the nail on the head, is you're going to love them no matter how they perform on Saturday. And as a parent, I just want to see them enjoy themselves, because when they're not, as a parent, when the kid's not enjoying themselves, that's probably the worst thing as a parent, is to watch your own child out there and there's nothing you can do. But Sal, I appreciate your time joining us, and thanks again. And Nate, I look forward to the next part of this conversation. I want to say goodbye to Sal first. Did you want to say goodbye to him?
Hey, yeah, man, you kind of said it, Coach, but really looking forward to the pairing. It's always good. It's always ideal, no matter your skill level, to play with the best or among the best teams in the field. So I'm looking forward to some conversations with you too, selfishly, just about coaching and life. But best of luck to the Royals. I wholeheartedly mean that, man. Respect everything you guys are doing.
Yeah, and I'm pulling for the Yorktown Tigers just as much. I want to see everybody succeed and everybody have a good day, and I'm looking forward to it. It should hopefully be a really nice day. We were out at the course today. It's in as good a shape as I've ever seen it, honestly. Maybe
it's
that
good.
Rain helped just a little bit, but you can tell they're getting those tee boxes ready and they're making sure the greens are up for it and all of that stuff. So should be a great day. I'm looking forward to seeing you right there for that first pairing at 9:50. Other than that, though, enjoy talking about the rest of the regions. Obviously, the other one to watch for, I'm sure you're going to talk about that. But yeah, that Zionsville, Westfield, Carmel region is going to be a fun one to watch as well, in addition to ours, as we, because we got some wild cards in ours, right? We got New Pal. We don't know what they're going to do. Yorktown, of course. I mean, you guys could have a day any day. And then LaPel, kind of knowing that, I think at the LaPel invite earlier in the season, we broke 300, but LaPel was not very far behind us. Mm-hmm. And so
309, I think, if I remember.
Yeah, they were 309. We were 299. Noblesville had a day. They were like 288 or something like that. I walked up to Workley afterwards. I'm like, dude, you got to at least give us a chance. That's crazy.
Even par as a team's pretty strong.
Right. So no, it's going to be a great time. Thanks. I really appreciate you all having me on. And again, appreciate everything that From the Cart Path does for youth golf here in Indiana, and happy to be on anytime or talk about anything that you all want. So
absolutely,
you all have a great night.
All right, appreciate it.
Good luck, Coach.
All right, Sal. Again, everyone, thanks for Coach Sal joining us. And now I think the fun part, Coach McClung, as we should say, but I'm going to go with Coach McClung for the rest of the show, is we get to go through all the regionals and some good things I've done in the last couple of days. And I know today earlier you were showing me the homework that you put into this, and I did some additional homework. I actually reached out to some players in Region 1, and then I reached out to a parent in Regional 1, and then I got some additional information from a parent in Regional 2, And then one of my favorite instructors in the state, Albert Jennings, gave me his preview of Regional 2 as well. And I still think Golf Digest missed Albert being on one of those top instructors lists, because I think we all know in the Northern Indiana, where does anyone send their kid if they want to get really great at golf? And that's Albert. So
Albert is the smartest person I have ever heard talk about golf.
Absolutely. And you talk about chill. You could be in a bad mood and get upset. As soon as you see Albert, all of a sudden you put on a chill face, because Albert's chill. He just is the definition of chill. If you look that up in the dictionary, you will see Albert Jennings. So I do want to point that out, Albert. So, but anyways, Coach McClung, let's get over to Regional 1. Kind of go through your notes, and then I'll kind of go through mine.
Okay, cool. I don't have quite as much as you. I have 4 pages here. So, you know, I'm pretty plugged in, but I wanted to make sure. I know you get some grief if you leave some individuals out. So I guess I'll just kind of start there. Obviously, the Gutierrez girl is in this regional if her team were not to advance. And then also you have Olivia Bailey from Rochester, is a really nice player. So I think she had 72 intersectional. But as far as teams, obviously, we've had this. We talked about this in the spring with the boys. You have a Munster team that's playing really well. You have a South Bend St. Joe team that has been pretty good all year. Penn is pretty highly ranked, and then you have Lake Central. So I think more than likely, 3 of those 4 teams get out unless you see something differently. And then your individuals are Gutierrez, Bailey, and then it's certainly those 2 are fighting for a spot. And then you have remaining players from those 4 teams. That's what I'm seeing here, Trent. Individually, though, this was one I went down and just, I made a list of every player who broke 80 last weekend. And in this one, you have about 11 girls. So some quality players there. What are you seeing in Regional 1?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head right away is with those 4 teams that you mentioned. And I want to point out something. One of the things I always look for during the girls' season is a 1-2 punch. And if you have a strong 1 and a strong 2, you position yourself well to move forward to the next level. Penn, Munster, and South Bend St. Joe have that. Lake Central is solid 1-5. No one really kind of stands out on that roster. I know Allie Humpenthal is a great player. She could make it as an individual. The beginning of the preseason, Munster, the girls ranked Munster number 20 in the state. And the reason why they did that was Hannah Ingersoll and Josephine Zangrilli. And those 2 players, when you look at the rankings on Tugger, they're number 22 and number 26 in the state. And when you have 2 players like that that can kick in, that puts you in a position to move to state. And both those girls I reached out to before the podcast, and last night I actually reached out to both of them, and they both kind of came back that they feel comfortable that the team actually has a legitimate shot, but their focus is getting through the round. I know Hannah pointed out to me she's really focused on her short game playing at Sandy Pines. She wants to make sure that she's got that going. I mean, she shot 73 at sectionals the other day, and I've seen Hannah play. Hannah had a rough winter, and at the beginning of the spring wasn't herself. And then she had some time off due to a minor injury. And since she's been back, she's been on fires. If I got to pick 3, I'm going with Penn, Munster, and South Bend St. Joe.
Those were the same 3 I had, Trent. Yep.
Yep. And I think Lake Central is going to be right there with them. So I'm not counting them out, but I think those are your 3. And I think individually, Kennedy's getting through. Kennedy is a player. And we talked about Taylor Snively last year, her being a 28 player, but now we get into this 29 class, and we're going to talk about this a lot tonight during our conversation.
Man, they're special.
It's a special class, and there's some other kids that we don't even talk about yet because they're just now really getting going. But in this regional, Kennedy Gutierrez is the best player in that regional. She's one of the best players in the state. And if you truly look at the rankings, she's one of the top 4 players in the state right now. So Kennedy gets out, and then after that, it's obviously the Dunham girls with South Bend St. Joe. So Marley and Lucy are coming through with South Bend St. Joe as a team. I think Allie Humpenthal gets through, and Olivia Bailey. I think Olivia Kennedy are the first 2. Then I think Allie or another player from Lake Central could get through on that roster. So Sandy Pines is going to be a test for them, and I think it's going to be a great day for all of them.
Now, I love that golf course. I love that golf.
I do too. There's a lot of great courses up there. And sometimes I think the hard part is here in Central Indiana, there's not enough tournaments that our girls go to all over the state, but that's one that they try to get to every year with the junior tour. And I think more girls should go up there and play that one. Now, here's something cool. Tomorrow, is the East Noble Regional is going to have live scoring tomorrow, which I'm excited about because I'm one of those that wants to see the battle between Alex Reschle and Taylor Larkins and Sophie Richmond. Those are going to be your top three players in that regional. But when we get to the teams, I'll let you take off from there and I'll kind of follow up with my info.
Yeah. So we're moving on to regional two. Like you said, it's our only Friday regional and you hit the nail on the head there with three of the strong players there. I would also add Savannah Miller from Tippecanoe Valley had 74 last weekend. So I wouldn't totally leave her out. But like you said, Reschle's team is probably looking to advance. I think Carol is maybe going to have a little bit tougher time to advance. Obviously, that's Taylor's team. Taylor will obviously move on, assuming she plays golf, which she's going to do because she's awesome. Excited too. She's coming to Ball State. One of my best friends is their coach here in Cam Andre. So I hope Taylor plays well there. But I think you're looking at teams here. And a team that I kind of like is DeKalb. They played Zollner last weekend and shot a pretty good team score relative to some of the other sectional golf courses. I think that one's pretty challenging.
Yes.
And DeKalb, I think they're similar to when you were talking about Lake Central. I think they have just a solid team 1 through 5. So while maybe not like the coolest sounding pick, I jotted down Northridge, DeKalb, and Warsaw as teams getting out there. But certainly you have Carroll in the mix and some other ones there maybe too. But I'm like you. I didn't know there was live scoring until you just now mentioned that. So I'll have that up.
I wish it was a requirement for all the regionals to have live scoring over the weekend because it is fun to, especially on Saturday, to be able to look open what's going on at the other courses and what's happening because that's fun for us golf fans to be able to see what's happening on a regular basis. Team-wise, I'm kind of with you, but...
Who do you agree there? Do you agree with those three or do you have... You think Carroll gets out?
You know, I'm going to go with my buddy Albert. Albert, he sent me some information last night and one of the things he and I chatted about and he sent me the notes is Carroll was missing one of their players for a while and she's back. So the name's not coming off the top of my head right now. But their entire roster is back. They were back at sectionals. And obviously, Taylor's going to lead that team, and she's going to lead them. My three teams getting out, and this is where I'm going to kind of go with Albert Jennings. So if I'm wrong and the other team stare at me at state championships, you can blame Albert. But and he really wasn't. He listed five teams, and I'm going to tell you that right away. He listed five teams that he thinks that can get through. Obviously, Northridge is getting through. Carroll, DeKalb, Warsaw, and Homestead. He told me, don't be shocked if Warsaw gets through. And it's going to take them to play above average for the day, similar to what it takes to DeKalb and Homestead to get through. But Carroll's getting through. I'm going to go with Carroll gets through. Then I'm going to go with either DeKalb or Warsaw gets through. And I'm going to go ahead with my pick with Warsaw.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I have Carroll's lineup here in front of me. Taylor Larkins, Natalie Winter, Ellie Geller, Ava Guru. Man, they've had several gurus come through that program.
Yeah.
Laura Dimbario. So I don't know which one of those would have been added to the roster, but that was their sectional lineup.
Yeah, she came back. She was gone for a little bit during the season.
Okay, cool.
So that's kind of where they are there. But individually, you have Marion University commit Alex Reschle, who just won sectionals. You have Ball State commit Taylor Larkins, who I know Cam is so excited about to come to Ball State next year. You have Marion commit Sophie Richmond. Talk about what Dan Stojanovic does over there at Marion and the recruits he brings in. These two girls, Alex Reschle and Sophie Richmond, could have played at other schools, but they chose to go play for Dan down there at Marion. Those three right there are going to be your leaders. Obviously, Sophie gets through. And then there's a ton of girls that I have names on that it's open. It's going to be an open season on who gets through in those other picks. Sophie's getting through. It could be Dominica Cassini, Savannah Miller. I had a parent reach out to me, Sam Reschle, and said, don't count out Lily Oberon. She's had a good season. She's played well at different tournaments. And then he kind of even pointed out Caroline Burns to me that I kind of looked up and did some things. So there's some different names there at Regional 2. I think team-wise, it's going to be interesting. And I think individually, it's going to be interesting because we don't know who's going to get through.
Right. Hey, just to reiterate your point on Marion, the men's and women's programs there at Marion, just absolutely outstanding. I mean, just great stuff. They're recruiting Indiana kids. Steve Simmons, a good friend of mine. Like, that's awesome. I just think it's a great story that their men's and women's programs are so strong.
Absolutely. They do a great job down there at Marion at the NAIA level. And I think any kid in the state should be looking at them. Now, Regional 3, I think team-wise, is pretty obvious. It's going to take a major upset for Zionsville, Carmel, or Westfield not to make it through. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do you see a world where Brownsburg plays well enough to shoot a number? Because I think I agree with you. It just feels like Brownsburg has been consistently more than 8 or 9 strokes behind those other teams when they've played on the same golf courses at the same time. So it's, I have a tendency to agree, but I guess that's just my question for you. You probably know that Brownsburg team better than I do. They've been really solid all year, but the problem is they're just not as good as Carmel, Westfield, and Zionsville.
The only team I think they can get is Westfield. And it depends on the distance we're playing at Battleground this weekend. I think if Battleground plays the same as their Invitational, which it will be, I think Westfield gets them. I think Brownsburg has a few players, and I think two of those players might be able to possibly squeeze through. But really, when we get to the individual size of it, there's some strong individual players from teams there. Piercy Dyer from Peru, Indiana, at Peru High School. You have Annabelle Hacker from Plainfield High School. I mean, Annabelle has come a long way in the last 2 years, and she's been playing some great golf.
68 last weekend.
Correct. And then Allie Scott from Gearing Catholic. I think Allie has a great shot. She plays well at some of these courses, and Allie is a great player. So I think those are your three players that get through, but we cannot count out Allie Lewis.
Yep.
You cannot count out Lauren Rosa from Brownsburg or Josie Campbell from Brownsburg. One of those three could get one of the others if they don't have a great day. It's going to take a 75 or 76 to get out of that regional to individual players in this tournament. And if you are having a top player tournament in this state and you go down and look at the roster of the girls playing at this event, at this regional, you have the number one high school player in the state of Indiana, Taylor Snively. You have the number two high school girl in the state of Indiana, Maya Fujisawa Cooling. Then you have other great players right behind there with Karis Reed, who has qualified again for the national drive, chip, and putt. She's a former world champion. And you know, Chard will be out there making his birdie sounds out there every time Karis makes a birdie this weekend. And then you have other great players. Olivia Patton is my favorite freshman in the state that no one knew that was going to be playing as great as she has.
We have to remember on Carmel as well, we have Maya Fujisawa Cooling, who has become one of the top players in the state. And with that regional, you have two of the best players in the state with Taylor Snively and Maya Fujisawa Cooling. And then also with Carmel, you have to add in Maddie Headley. Maddie had a rough start to the season that really put a lot of work into her game. And just recently, she started to see some of that come back. So Carmel's going to push Zionsville this weekend.
I knew it and others did, but Olivia Patton has made that Zionsville team even better than what they already were. And other surprise picks that could possibly win that regional, Paige Henney. You know, Sal talked about Enjoy. If you ever get to spend time with Paige Henney, that kid loves being on the golf course and she has a great time. So again, those are just some names there. I didn't know if you had anybody else if you wanted to throw in for that regional.
I think you pretty much covered it there. But hey, you said Olivia plays right in the middle of that Zionsville lineup.
Yep.
She's just right there at three.
Yep. Yeah, she plays right there at that number three spot, and she's been averaging mid-70s all season. She's a heck of a player. She's got a great future in front of her. And I've gotten to know her, and I still don't think Olivia realizes how good she is at this game, and I think that's the best thing for her.
Yeah, well, she's 14. There are a lot of things she doesn't know yet, right?
Man, I almost forget 14 years old. I was my freshman year at Kokomo High School playing varsity at that time. I can remember it, just can't walk you through any of those rounds because I don't want to. But as we get to Regional 4, this regional is probably your favorite regional and my favorite regional.
Okay.
And I'm going to kind of let you talk about it a little bit, yeah. And then I'm going to try to be as HSC politically correct as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And just disclaimer here, I do coach the Yorktown Lady Tigers, and we're coming off a season low 325. So, you know, in theory, we're trying to get out of here as a team. That being said, I have several friends in coaching, and they just asked for my thoughts on our regional, and I think it's pretty simple. I think you have Hamilton Southeastern and Noblesville at the top in some order. Then you have a gap that is probably a couple handfuls of strokes, if not a little more. Then you have LaPel kind of in their own tier on their home golf course. And then you have three or four teams a little bit behind them that if LaPel stumbles or doesn't play well, they start on the back nine. So if they like I said, if they stumble, they could leave some other teams, kind of bring some other teams into the field. I think if LaPel plays well, they're going to be tough to beat as far as that third spot as a team. That being said, anything can happen out there at Edgewood. The 12, 13, 14 are weird holes back in that golf, in the corner of that golf course. It's not a long course, but you can get it in the trees. You can pretty easily make a couple doubles in a row. So I think certainly Noblesville and Hamilton Southeastern are going to get out there as teams. And then LaPel certainly has an advantage there on their home golf course. But like I said, if you play well, it's a golf course that's short enough that you can make some birdies. You're going to have to get it out of trouble as quickly as you can when you get it in the trees, because you're going to do it. But I'm excited. I'm excited to coach. I'm excited to play with the best team in the field, maybe in Hamilton Southeastern. Individually, you have a young lady at Mount Vernon who shot 68, and they said, you got to play again tomorrow because half the field didn't finish. And then she shot 69 and made a hole-in-one in Ressie Lemon. You have Lauren Deering, who has a lot of tournament experience from New Pal and is a great kid. You have Katie Kelly also from New Pal, who can get it going, but maybe isn't quite as consistent. And then you have Josie Butler, who made it to state last year from Tipton, who's not playing quite as well. And then you have some girls, frankly, who are a little bit younger with not as much experience, who have a chance to break 80. And you never know what the golf course is going to play like, what that number is going to take. But I certainly think you need something in the mid to upper 70s there individually to get out. So that's kind of what I see, Trent.
I do as well on some of those. Here's the difference for LaPel versus New Pal last year. Bella Shetterly. Bella shot an 86 at that regional last year. She played for Pendleton Heights. Then she transferred. And now she's at LaPel. Had Bella played for LaPel last year, LaPel makes the state championships and New Pal does not. There's your difference going into this. New Pal has graduated a player. They've got some new people in. Obviously, Lauren Deering and Katie Kelly are their workhorses. Lauren, I've known for quite some time. Sophie and her have played against each other in U.S. Kids when they were back at 11, 12 years old. Lauren is a heck of a player. Lauren's going to make it to the state championship either way, whether it's with her team or as an individual. Lauren Deering will be at the state championships. Lauren is a great player at Prairie View as well at the same time, and we'll talk about that next week after she qualifies. Now, team-wise, it's going to be HSC, Noblesville. I think LaPel gets through. I do agree with you, though. Starting on that back nine is a little bit different, and if it gets into their head, and it's one of those things I've talked about with people several times, is, and this is something that other coaches have told me, and I know as a parent, if you have a lot of tournament experience, it helps at regionals.
Absolutely.
If you don't, it affects you. Because now this is the first time where that little light switch goes on. Every shot matters. And all of a sudden, these girls aren't playing that next shot. They're thinking about the shot five time holes ago. They can't get over that. And that's what these girls need to focus on over the weekend, is focus on that next shot. Can't worry about it and just move forward. That's where I see some of the frustrations. I do think, though, individually, though, Ressie's getting through. So Ressie and Lauren are my two getting through. Then it's going to come down to a battle of these three and maybe some others from outside of our sectional. Josie's been to the state before. She knows how to play at this regional. She knows how to play Edgewood. She can show up, and as Sal said, she can show out at that course. Kennedy Lancaster knows how to play that course. Her and Josie are going to be playing for that spot. They can knock out one of those other two because they have the ability. Kennedy has that ability to go low. We've all seen it. But my surprise pick is going to be Taylor Morrison from Hamilton Heights. She just shot 77 at Harbor Trees. And when you can go that low at Harbor Trees, which I think is the hardest sectional course in our regional, she's setting herself up for success. And I know Taylor's worked harder to gain. And I know several people have told me how much she's been working on a game this year. And you can see it at the different tournaments she plays. I don't know of any other names outside of that group. But overall, individually for this regional, you have a lot of good players. And these are the six I'm going to give you. Josie Kelly, Janelle Garcia, Sophie Roberts, Olivia Fowler, Annabelle Marshall, and Jane Armington. Jane and Annabelle have grown up on that golf course. They can play that golf course blindfolded. That's the advantage that LaPel has coming into this tournament. But I think those first four names or six names, one of those six could end up winning regionals on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Annabelle is a baller. That girl.
She is.
Sorry to use a different sport word there, but Annabelle Marshall is really, really good. Hannah Steerly, I watched her play for Richmond a couple times. She's a pretty consistent player. I would kind of put her in that same category as with like a Josie and the other Tipton girl there. Like she's a solid player for Richmond. She can move it. She had 77 last weekend. So, you know, like you chop that down a couple. I had Taylor Morrison down as well. That round impressed me too, just knowing the golf course she played, to your point there, Trent. So I think we covered it there.
Earlier in the year at the LaPel Invitational, Josie Kelly shot a 67. Sophie Roberts shot a 69. And Annabelle Marshall shot a 69. And I believe Janelle shot a 70-71. So those four names right there, you got to watch out for those to win the individual title on Saturday.
Yeah. And to your earlier point about Neupal too, when you have players at 1 and 2, like things can happen.
Correct.
If Katie Kelly plays well, Katie Kelly plays well, you know, if they go 68-72 at the top or 68-73, then all of a sudden, maybe we're having a different conversation at 1-2 there. So certainly Neupal is the firepower at the top to push LaPel.
Absolutely. I think now we get to Regional 5, where I think you and I both said, it's almost like I wish I had some people to reach out to down there to get some info. But I did my research. Castle is going to be the team that wins that regional. They have the firepower, they have the players, and they're going to be able to get out at that team spot. The other four teams that have a shot are Terre Haute South, Bedford North Lawrence, Evansville Memorial, and Washington. Now, I believe this is Washington's home course, and maybe I'm wrong. I have to go back here and look, but I also looked up the Invitational from earlier this year. Those Memorial, Washington, and South were all within like 3 or 4 shots of each other at that Invitational earlier in this year.
You're correct. It is their home. It's Country Oak. It is their home.
So it's their home course. They've got some decent players. They've got the opportunity to shock the world and to shock their high school and make it to the state championships.
Hey, now, Grace Hickey at the top of that lineup, 71 to your point last weekend, yep. Trent. So, yep,
absolutely. And that's kind of where I go there. And you have to look at Castle with Dia Patel and Lena Rice. I mean, you know, they're going to show out. And Avery Castle was on the All-State team last year from Terre Haute South. So you've got some different players in there. It's not a strong regional by any means. So to me, that's what leaves it open and makes it a difficult conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And Terre Haute South too, Holly Clapp, 77 last weekend. So a couple there, you add up to sub 150, and that's a pretty darn good start at 1-2 at the top of the lineup, especially when you're thinking 330 or something could be the advancing team number. So you all of a sudden make a couple 85s difficult to beat at 3-4. And you're talking there for Terre Haute South. I agree. Those are the three picks I had. I had Washington on their home course, Castle and Terre Haute South. Individually, I think there are some names. Amber Moreland from Northview at a 73 is just a number that sticks out to me. What else did you have individually wise there?
You know, I've seen Bedford North Lawrence play, and I think when you're at a course like that, it may be a low 80s to mid 80s that gets out of there. You just don't know. And I think if it gets to high 70s, low 80s, you can't count out Sammy Newsom or Kenley Root. They've had that experience of making it to state before on a team. That's kind of why I have Bedford North Lawrence in that conversation.
Yeah,
because those girls have been to the state championship several years in a row. And I know we played with them Sophie's freshman year. We just played with them at the Hall of Fame Classic. The girls have talent and they have the ability. I think it's going to be about believing in themselves on Saturday. And so don't count them out. But I do think Kenley or Sammy are two individuals that can make it out if the team doesn't.
Trent, just looking at Bedford North Lawrence, I don't know much about Otis Park, the course they played last weekend. It's 345. I don't know anything about that golf course.
I don't know. The only thing when I hear the word Otis is I think of Animal House. Yo, Otis, he loves us. So,
okay. Yeah. So I just was looking at the number there, 345 from Bedford North Lawrence. To your point, they certainly have some experience there. So that's one of those teams you get them on the back nine and they're playing well. You can certainly see them getting it home.
Absolutely. What day last week did they play? Did they play on Monday? I don't believe they did.
They played on Saturday.
They played on Saturday because it was going to be Monday. That was going to be my answer for the scores at that point because that part of the state, obviously, we had so much rain on Monday.
It was perfect. The weather Saturday was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, we didn't get to see that perfect weather at Harbor Trees on Monday. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
We were in umbrellas.
No, we were in umbrellas, rain suits, and changing shoes at the turn. That's what we were doing. So Region 5. It's a little bit tougher to pick, like you said. it'll be interesting, but Castle gets out. So I think that's kind of there. Now, getting to the last regional, this is where I think.
This one's fun. I hope there's live scoring for this one. This is a good one.
And I'm going to call it the Indianapolis Star on this one. They had in their article, Pies versus South. And that upset me for Lexi Ray.
I don't think it's near that simple.
I don't either.
You go ahead though, Trent.
And when I think of this regional with the number of players that are here and they could show up and show out, obviously, Rowan Pies, UIC commitment, University of Illinois Chicago. Ava South is going to be her teammate at University of Illinois Chicago next year. Lexi Ray going to Ball State. And when they forgot to list her kind of in that conversation of who could win this, I thought was a major mistake by the Indianapolis Star, because Lexi's one of the best players in this state. She has been for the last 4 years. So little upset about that, but I'm going to call them out on it. And it is what it is. But there's other players there on the second team preseason from the cart path. Caden Wardlaw was on that roster as well as one of the top 20 players in the state. And she's been having an exceptional season. And then Addie Bright. Addie has the potential of going extremely low. We've played with Addie enough this year, and I've seen Addie over the years, and she's well-liked by all of her playing partners. I know she's good friends with Josie Kelly, and Addie Bright could be one of those that wins the individual title as well. That's just starting there. Getting through, after we talk about the teams, the team game is even more difficult. I'll let you talk about that first.
Yeah, sure. You have Center Grove. I'll just kind of rat. Here are the five, I think, Trent. Center Grove, Batesville, Franklin, Floyd Central, and New Albany. And getting out individually, you have Rowan Pies is a player, to your point. You have Emmy Dowell at a 69 from Madison. Depending what teams get out, Wright from Floyd is a great player. You named a couple of the other ones there. But I'm just looking at the top of these lineups. And like you said, Franklin's got a couple of them there who can get it going pretty low. Batesville's been better at the middle of their lineup. Ben Seifert, their coach, does a really nice job. He's a grinder. So I think this is going to be a tough one for the second or the third spot. I think Center Grove and Franklin find a way to get out. I just think they're experienced. Course familiarity, they're well coached, they're going to be well prepared. And then I think the third spot to me is probably between Batesville and Floyd Central. I could certainly see New Albany doing it, but I kind of lean more toward Caden getting out individually for New Albany with Rowan, and then maybe I don't know who we're going to determine that third individual
is. It's going to be whoever doesn't make it through between Floyd Central and Batesville at this point.
Correct.
Because Ava South's going to be the state championships. And when she gets to Prairie View, she has finished in the top five every year she's been there. So Ava will find a way to get there, whether it's her team or as an individual. I sent this over to you earlier tonight. They had, I think it was the state preview, or there's another tournament that they had there. It was a state preview that Floyd Central, Batesville, were within five shots of each other. So that's why this is going to be so close. Now, the advantage goes to Batesville, Grove, and Franklin, because I do feel like they play there an awful lot. I know Franklin has their Invitational, they have the Hall of Fame Classic, and they have some other stuff there where these teams play there a little bit more than Floyd Central does. So I know Floyd Central was up there for the Hall of Fame Classic. I don't know. I think the fact that they have live scoring, I'm excited. That's what I'm going to be watching as I'm watching my kid play on Saturday as well. I think you're right. I think the one sure team that gets through is Franklin. And I think the other two and three spots are open for grab. I think Center Grove does get through, but I think Franklin's your sure team out of that group.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And also, I just jotted down a couple. Cordon Central has a couple players, too, who pretty routinely break 80. I just have last name Stillwell and Mathis or Maths. So they have a couple who can go there. Silver Creek has a Cecil who broke 80. So there's still some sleepers. But I think, to your point from earlier, the individuals are just so good mm-hmm. that this is going to take a pretty low number. Like 76 isn't getting out individually in this regional.
No, it's not.
It's going to take something down around par. But I think this is the toughest, as you and I were texting back and forth earlier. I think this is the toughest regional to predict. And I think it's the toughest regional to forecast. And thankfully, we just get to see the results in 2 days.
Absolutely. I was kind of looking up over here real quick, looking at the regional from last year. And just to give you an idea of Rowan Pies won with, looks like she won with a 68. I have to look, I pulled it up in the live scoring because some of these teams didn't finish it once they got going.
I have team scores if you want them.
Yeah, go ahead and give those to me from last year.
Last year, Franklin 319, Batesville 321, Center Grove 327, Floyd 333. In New Albany, this tells you how much they have improved. If you were not voting for their coach for Coach of the Year, they shot 380 last year. Yeah. And obviously did not finish fifth, but I just included the teams that I thought were in contention
there. Absolutely, you have to when you're going back and forth and looking at that. So I think that's the key here. And I think, obviously, you can't count out any of those teams, but Franklin's getting through. I know Ted and those girls know that course like the back of their hand. I predict Lexi Ray wins the regional. I think she's playing really well right now. She's focused. I had her on the preseason podcast. And I think last year she talked a little bit about what she needed to work on to focus to get ready for this year. And I know she's done it. And I kind of see her sticking out winning this Saturday. But again, when you have Rowan Pies and Ava South there along with you, there's three D1 players.
Have you seen the tee sheet for that one, Trent? I have not.
It's out.
I just was thinking you could have some fun pairings in that one.
Absolutely, you could. It is out because it's on the Indiana Blue Golf website right now.
Okay, it's
you
on
can
Blue Golf.
You can see the regional for Franklin, and you can see the regional for East Noble. And okay, again, great. I know I'm not on the coaches committee because I'm not a coach. I know I don't get a say so in anything, but the fact that these two regionals have live scoring, we're headed in the right direction, especially at this time of the year. So I just wanted to point that out and say a big thank you to those coaches doing that and getting that done. Just kind of looking at this real quick, the last group of the day is teeing off on number one is Ava South, Abby Wright, and Lexi Ray. So a great group of young women playing golf. And I wonder if Cam had anything to do with these two regionals having live scoring, just out of curiosity. I mean, you can ask him next time you see him since the fact that
I might give him a call on my way home today. I'm in my classroom right now, away from the dog and the kids.
Man, but having those two regionals, so I'm sure as a guy getting those two players, he's excited. He'll be able to see how they're doing at this regionals. And I know he's a big proponent of these girls in the state playing high school golf. And I know that he's looking forward to watching those girls at the state championship in a week.
That's his stomping grounds down there, too. He's from the southern part of the state.
I do want to throw out there, the Marion County champion was Maddie Yalman as a freshman. And Maddie shot 80 or 81 at sectionals the other day. And I've known Maddie for quite some time. She does have the potential to put herself in that mix. I just wanted to throw that out there for her because I've seen it. Franklin Central?
Yeah, yep. I saw Franklin Central in 81 or an 82 at the top of the lineup. So again, maybe in a different regional would potentially have a chance to do some things. Going to be a little more challenging in this one.
Going to be challenging, but the fact that she's from down that area and plays that course.
Absolutely.
It could be, you never know what's going to happen on a day like Saturday. And just like that, we went through all the regionals.
Hey, damn. I just want to echo something Coach South said, man. Your coverage of junior golf in this sport, I know I joked with you, I need a podcast from you every week so I can cut my grass. I love golf. I'm a nerd, and I love our conversations, man. So, but as a coach and as someone who just loves the game and loves the young people, just thank you for everything that you do, man.
Well, I appreciate that comment. I just wanted to point out, we've been in a drought for about 5, 6, 7 weeks of no podcast, and it hasn't really rained in the last 6 or 7 weeks. So now that we've had some rain, we've done a podcast, I bet your yard needs mowed.
Hey, yeah, well, it's brown is the problem, so... Yeah, my wife's not real happy, but thankfully everyone else's yard in my neighborhood is now brown as well. So honestly, it worked out pretty well.
You're a trendsetter.
That's exactly right.
So perfect. Well, hey, Nate, thanks for joining me tonight. I've had a really good time going over all of this, and I can't wait to release this. I mean, we're over an hour on this podcast, and I think it's just we had so much to go over and so many great things to discuss, and I'm looking forward to releasing it here in about a couple of hours.
All right. Hey, thanks, Trent. Appreciate it, man. Right. And we'll see you Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Nate. We'll see you out there.
Yep. See ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode of From the Card Path with your host, Trent Roberts. Please be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss an episode.